What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
All right, you folks, back on the Boss Man Show here with assistant coach for the Portland Trail Blazers out of the Western Conference, Ronnie Burrell on the Boss Man Show. Ronnie, man, how are things out there in the great Northwest up there in Portland, my brother?
No, we're doing good, man. We just had another long day of training camp, so this is day two, you know, new-looking team, new-looking staff. And it's beautiful, man. I'm just grateful. One of the main things about me, I tell everybody I speak to, I'm grateful to have this career going. And, you know, so far, I'm grateful for the industry I'm able to work in. I'm just happy to be here. I'm a happy-to-be-here kind of guy, you know what I mean? So I don't take a day for granted, man. And today was another one.
No, I'll tell you offline, one of my good friends from Montclair, New Jersey, man. So for you, man, coming from Montclair, New Jersey, did you ever envision in your mind having the great career you had as a player overseas, then having success as a Long Island Nets real close to home, and now you in Portland with Chauncey Billups and what he has building out there with the Blazers now?
Yeah, no, I'm originally from North Jersey, Montclair High School, Essex County, you know. And it's funny, I was one of those young guys who was kind of, you know, under the radar. I was a decent player, you know, had a couple of scholarship offers at school. I never left the tri-state area, man, until I went to college, you know. So I'm always so appreciative of the game because it's given me my, you know, the vehicle to my education, the vehicle of me seeing the world growing up. So now I just consider myself a citizen of the world, man. So I'm not really surprised I'm living here in the Pacific Northwest for the first time. You know, I'm going into year two in Portland, but I've been all over the world, you know, because of this game. And so I'm just fortunate, man. It's been an interesting journey, you know, but that's what the game can do for people like you and I, you know.
Man, what you said, brother, because I can only imagine, like, for me, growing up in the west side of Atlanta, I never would have imagined where this game is taking me on the my radio side. You know, player-wise, I wasn't good as you, of course, but, you know, being still been around guys who I've known, grew up with, seeing my friends like Jones Hayes, help be the head coach, you know, Sharif Abdur-Rahim, and God rest his soul, Amir. So it's like all those guys who I knew as a kid, you know, just grew up with these brothers, and then some become head coach. And then me, I'm in the media. Then my dad was a head coach in high school, but you know what? I don't lose games on the radio side, brother. I'm always happy.
Hey, man. But look, that's one side of sports that I know. I know my lane. You know, I know my lane. I was a player. I transitioned into coach, and I wanted to work in front office a bit, man. But what you guys do, it takes a special character, man. So, you know, a special gift to Gab. That's not my lane. You know, I enjoy doing these things, though, just to share my story, man, and meet new people and kind of expand my own horizons, you know. So I get a lot out of doing this as well.
No doubt, bro. And, like, you know, bro, like I said, I love the game of basketball because – it's so much to it, man. And, like, seeing these young brothers develop and figure it out, you know, especially for you coaching in the G League, where young men are trying to get to that big roster. And talk about just seeing the growth in players, man, and how you can help them get there because you played overseas at a high level and help them know what it takes to be a player and get to where you want to be.
Right. Well, that's my personal give back part of this. You know, that's what I get out of it, is helping guys that was like myself. You know, I've been to mini camp. You know, I played in the summer league, you know, tried out for teams, had different agents, did my whole bid in Europe trying to make it to the NBA. You know what I mean? And during a different era when the G League was the D League, you know, when the contracts weren't the same, when the opportunities weren't the same, there were no affiliate teams. It was a much different era then. I'm not an old guy or anything. I'm 42 now. But, you know, when I came out of college, we were still sending VHS tapes of your games to the teams. And I'm talking about mailing them to Europe to get it. It was nobody watching you on Synergy and things like that. It was word of mouth. It was, you know, playing in front of eyes. It was exposure that these guys now have access to all of that. You know what I mean? So I try to give these guys a piece of my story. And that's what really, you know, made the G League fulfilling for me. I would have 100% would have been one of those guys trying to get it in Exhibit 10, get a two-way, you know, try to get into camp, all of those things, you know. So it was good to have experienced coaching guys that were like myself, you know what I mean? And that was the vehicle to allow me to learn just the NBA, you know what I mean?
100%. 100%, yeah, bro. Like,
it's fulfilling, man. It's fulfilling because I've had, you know, I get to talk real to those players. Yes. I'm like, man, I was you. I was you, man. This is what it's going to look like for you. When you go to camp, this is how they're going to treat you. You know what I mean? And some guys need to hear that, man. I don't believe in fake coaching.
No doubt. You played for a dude that didn't, but don't believe in Fran McCaffrey, UNCG. You know, you know, I know how intense he can be and how he was back then. So kind of let the people know how Coach Fran was. And you, they put him on for an hour. And now he's getting back in the Ivy League. But talk about him playing for him at UNCG, how tough it was to play for him, but how he made you a better player and a better man off the court.
Hey, I owe him almost everything basketball-wise. You know, I've had a lot of role models and figures and important coaches, man. But, I mean, we speak all that. I haven't spoken to him in probably a couple of months after since he got the job at Penn. So, I'm glad you reminded me. He's due a call from me. I always check on him. I owe him a lot, learned a lot from him. But, yeah, he was highly intense at that point. This was between 2001 and 2005. I played for him. He has a bit of an old school intensity to him for sure. That's natural. It's not fake. You know, that is how he coaches. That's how much he believes in what he's doing, how much he knows, and how competitive he is. You know what I mean? And it's one of those things, man. It's something that I don't want to say is missing, but in a way it may be. Just that genuine, like he put guys in the pressure cooker to kind of see what you're made of. You know what I mean? And that is the value of sports. And you play for him, you'll learn it. It's not for everybody. Now, I know he had his years at Iowa. You know, we all get older and we conform to societal norms and things like that. But I know him. You know, I know him. I know that he is as direct and honest of a coach as you can be. I know that when he goes to Penn, he's going to coach them the same way. You know what I mean? And he gets the admirations of the players by being 100% genuine with them. So that is one piece of advice. Not even advice. I just watched and took. Like, there's no reason to ever lie to a player. Never. No, nope. This is not for the faint of heart. That's what sports can do. You in a safe environment to learn real world lessons. You understand what I'm saying? So he did that for me, man. It was a joy playing for him. I developed so much under him, like you said, as a player and as a man. And our relationship after that, man, we speak often. I know his family really well. I watched them grow in their careers. I'm watching his son now and how he'll go. I know both of his sons really well, you know, and then I've coached some of the players that he's coached, you know what I mean? And it's interesting to hear their perspectives on them and how they positively affected them. As of right now, I'm working with Chris Murray, who played for Fran at Iowa, you know what I mean? And because of our mutual relationship with him and I have a good relationship. You know, he's the type of man and coach that bonds people like that. If you know Fran and you play for Fran, there's a fraternity in that.
100%. And, you know, I'm trying to get him on the show, talk to him. So hopefully we get him on the show real soon. I emailed this SID guy. They ain't got back to me. I'm hoping to talk to Fran real soon. And, you know, UNCG, like Randy Peel, previous coach to Coach Fran, somebody's a mentor of mine. Mike Jones, the coach there, is a mentor of mine now. So those two individuals, and I don't know Coach Fran that well, but I do know Mike Jones and Randy Peel very well from UNCG. And Mike DeMitt, I know through Randy Peel. So it's like, I tell you what, the Spartans are. I know a lot of your Spartans. I got a bunch of love and respect for you guys, man.
Yeah, thank you, man. It's a hidden gem of a mid-major now. We produce a lot of really good players. We haven't yet had a guy that broke out in the NBA, you know what I mean, which is the difference between the Davidson and some of the other, you know, smaller schools that have had a star come out of the school and now everyone knows the name. But we've always had a really good program and we've made a lot of high level pros, you know. It's one to watch. I hope that this gets it out there a little bit more. You know, I'll always have people and be connected to UNCG.
No doubt. Great city of Greensboro, North Carolina. Great, great city. And Ronnie, for you, brother, when you was playing for Coach Fran and over playing overseas, When did the coaching bug kind of get to you, man? Because I know when you're a player, you don't think about getting the coaching right by you in the midst of it. But when did you kind of get that itch to want to coach after your playing career?
Yeah, it came later for me. It was after I was done playing. I was never a guy that, as a player, was like, when I retire, I want to coach. I'd never said that one day in my life. I had a couple goals when I was retiring from playing in Europe, was that I wanted to stay around the game. For me, European basketball is tough. It's tough on your body. I didn't want to get back on the court at all. I didn't want to get back on the court. So I thought I wanted to be in the front office. And, you know, I come from a family of teachers. My mother is a teacher, family academic. My brother is. I always wanted to go back to school and get my master's. So that was my only goal. Like, look, man, I'm going to go back to school, get my master's, which I did. And I did it as a grad assistant at Florida Atlantic. And while I was there, you know, they let me coach. I had to coach, essentially. That was how I earned my keep, you know. I had to coach. I'm on the court with the guys, working them out, et cetera. And that's when it kind of hit me. I spoke with another one of my mentors, another Georgia guy, Mike Curry, who told me, like, look, you'll fit perfectly in the modern NBA's player development system. You know what I mean? You're still in shape. You know the game. Communicate well with the players, and it'll be a good opportunity for you to learn. And that's kind of when I decided, man, I am going to try to coach. I had that itch. And it also gave me, you know, you still get to feel like you're competitive. You know what I mean? In a way that, and I don't know, I've never been in the front office, but I just like the actual, like, I'm out here with you. I'm on the court. I'm speaking to you, sweating with you. I did still miss that. I still do. And I realize I need that. That's my fuel. I'm so glad I didn't go any other route.
Brian Ronnie, you said a word there. You know, I'm doing some volunteer assisting for Albany State down the road in Albany, Georgia. So that's my way to kind of dipping my toe in, but I ain't ready to go full because I like my cushy radio job. I ain't gonna lie to you, but it's fun to still dip my toe in the box to still kind of get that itch and that edge. And so, you know, I know what you mean, man. I'm kind of playing both roles right now, but I think I like the radio gig still a bit better right now.
Listen, man, coaching, I tell anybody, if you got a job that you call cushy that fits you and you love it, man, coaching is, you might want to just stay there, brother, because it's volatile, it's competitive, it's uncertain, it can be stressful, all those things. And then it's worth it. You understand? It's all those things first, and then you get to, it was worth it. Sometimes you feel like it's not, you know, but that's just the nature of sports in general, man. And that's the thing that, you know, ever since I was in college, we used to be, I'm a D1 athlete, playing overseas, the guys that played in the league, played sports, worked in these environments, you get conditioned to it. You get conditioned to it, you know?
You know, Ronnie's trying to, you know, appease my father because, you know, he's the coach in the family. Like, son, you have it in you. You know what you're talking about on the radio. You're talking about actions and different things on the radio. You might as well apply it. So that's why I can maybe kind of make a phone call and say, if you need some help, I'm more than happy to come down and help and assist. So, you know, but it's my pops, man, in the background. Okay, hey, man, this is a family business here. You need to get into it, son.
Yeah. I hear that. See, I didn't have that. Man. I was a sidebar. I'm raised by my mother and my grandmother. I fell in the hoop because it was just, I grew up in Montclair, New Jersey, and we went to the parks in Bloomfield and Orange, and Newark has a bunch of schools everywhere. It's got a park. We got three playgrounds, and we played outside in, you know what I mean, the 90s and the late 80s and things like that. And I was tall. I just fell into it. I don't come from a basketball family or anything like that, you know, so I was kind of on my own with it. And it worked out for me, man.
100%.
I get a little jealous of, like, the coach's sons. Like, you guys already have a knowledge. You a step ahead of the game already.
Man, Ronnie, my father still charts games on his yellow legal pads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see.
And this dude in his 80s.
Really?
Yeah.
I believe.
This dude in his 80s still doing it. So, I go watch the game with my father. I'm getting quizzed the whole game. What action's that? What they're doing defensively. I'm like, bro, I know what they're doing. Who's watching
the game? Now, some people are just wired that way, man.
Yes. And that's Pops. He's wired that way for sure. And, like, this summer league, you know, I was out there a little bit, man. I saw you coaching the team. So how cool was it for you, the opportunity to be the head coach of the summer league team and believe the Chauncey Billups organization has in you to – take those young men who are competing for roster spots, Exhibit 10s, G League team, and let them go out there and play the right way. In the first round draft pick, you had come in as well. So that Christmas we have for you, man, to lead the summer league team this summer, brother.
Yeah, no, that meant the world to me, man. It meant the world to me. It gave me an opportunity to contribute to the franchise in a way that I hadn't before, be in a leadership position that I hadn't been in before. It's just refreshing. I got to get out there and kind of do my thing, make mistakes, try out new things, and also, you know, act out the plans that the franchise had in place for the players that we drafted, you know, which is an important job, you know what I mean? And then at the end of the day, it's summer league, man. That's a one-of-a-kind sports atmosphere that people – I think now it's no secret the NBA has built the summer league into a global event. And then personally for me, too, I've been to Vegas so many times that I don't even really enjoy the city. I enjoy the basketball part of it. I've been out there to network. I've been out there to assistant coach. I played in the summer league. I've been out there to work camps. And this is my first time doing something new in Vegas this past summer, you know. So that meant a lot to me. And I had a ball doing it. We had a great group of young guys watching them working now in camp. Some of the guys that was with us, a lot of the guys that were with us are now. Have made strides since that month of July up until now. So I know that was meaningful for them. I remember how meaningful it was to me. And then those guys get an experience, you know, it's a once in a lifetime experience to get to play in NBA Summer League as a guy fresh out of college or whatever the case is.
Man, you must be reading my paper over here. I was going to ask you about the guys whose games kind of improved from July with the Summer League team and they in camp, and asking about some guys who popped for you, and how beautiful it is to see young men games grow and develop from July to now, knowing they've been putting in the work to get better and doing it, being professional about their craft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now you can see it. Some of it was just these are their guys' first professional games, essentially. You know what I mean? So there's nerves. There's uncertainties. So they got that out of the way. Now these guys are going into a vet camp now. It's a new set of pressures, but they've already kind of, you know, gotten that off their back, you know, in a way. They don't act the same. They're more outspoken. They're more outgoing. They're not as afraid, whatever the case is. And that was the most important part of it. But they also, basketball-wise, like, you know, we have a system that we run on both ends of the ball. We have jargon that we use. They got to learn the Blazer stuff in the summer. They had a head start, you know what I mean? And they need it. They needed it. Those young guys need it when you come into vet camp with some of the players that we have now. You know, they need all the help they can get. And that was their first crack at it. So, yeah, no, I found value in that, and I just hope I helped them out a bit.
Nah, no doubt. And how cool is it to have Damian Lillard come back to be the vet for those young guys and help them know what it means to be a pro, how to take themselves on and off the floor? Because having the right vet in the locker room is important to a young team on the rise like you all, man. And I think it's very important. I'm glad he came back to home to the Blazers so he can really rehab himself and also help out the team in more ways than people can imagine than on the court.
Yeah, no, it means everything. It means everything to the city, which is, you got to understand, I got to Portland last year. Damian wasn't here. And I got an opportunity over the last couple of weeks, really his last couple of days, to spend some time with him. Other than that, all I knew was about his game and the reputation that he had with the people around the league and the people here. And he's one of those guys that doesn't disappoint when you meet him, because everything that they say about him is true. You know, he's as genuine as they say and all the good things. And then, you know, if he wasn't, I just wouldn't speak on it. But he is. And I have a good, pretty good read of people. And it's cool to see. It's cool to see how important he is to the community of Portland, the effort that he puts into that, and then to watch him work. You know, it's a good thing. His presence alone, you know what I mean, being who he is to this franchise, gives us a totally different vibe in the gym. It does. You know, he's that polarizing. So it's cool. And a great guy as well, you know. So that means a lot, man. These young guys, I hope, because it's valuable for them. I've seen players' careers get affected in a negative way when they come in under poor veteran leadership and they learn bad habits. So we have some young guys in now around the Jrue Holidays and the Damian Lillards and the Jeremy Grants of veterans that have excellent habits. You know, that can change their lives, you know, and I hope they see that.
No doubt, because, you know, for me, it's always been punctuality, coming early, getting in early work and late work, not just being the last one to come to practice and the first one to leave. Like, really getting up after shots, really focusing on things you're going to use in the game. Not so much your bag. What are we doing for the team? Mastering our role the team wants me to play. Not letting my trainer get in my ear and throw off what the team wants me to do. So I think it's so important to have the right dudes around you, so those things, outside noise that these young men have, don't affect the team and whole church y'all's chemistry as you're trying to do something special in that tough Western Conference.
Yeah, well, you clearly know how this thing can go by what you said. You know all the factors these guys have pulling at them sometimes. The lucky thing for us is that we have, and this is the God's honest truth, we have in the NBA the best group of young guys as people that I've been around. You know, no bad seeds. Nobody's difficult. It's just a really, really positive environment, you know, and the young guys we have are making fast strides, you know. So guys that you might consider, oh, he's a young player coming into his own, like Tumani Kamara. When I see him this summer and pull into camp this year and get to work, he looks like a veteran, a solidified, I know who I am, still same work ethic, just a heightened sense of maturity and, you know, self-awareness. And we have a lot of guys like that. You understand what I'm saying? So this is a very unique NBA basketball team. We show like a togetherness and a connectiveness that's different than most places that I've been.
No doubt. And talk about this, Ronnie, how important it is for Scoop to have head coach Chauncey Billups, a point guard, Damian Lillard, a vet point guard, all-star Hall of Famer, Drew Holiday, a champion, maybe Hall of Fame as well, a gold medalist as well, to help him learn the point guard position in the NBA and him be better for being around these three great guards who can help him how to be a professional NBA guard the right way.
You know what? That might be something to research, because that goes without saying when you say it that way. But I don't know if there could be one who's extremely talented himself. Like, let's not get that twisted. Highly talented and a great young man. But he is essentially, like you said, being mentored by three Hall of Fame guards. I don't know if there's anyone that's ever had a luxury of that, you know, and if anybody deserves it, it's him. He's got a high IQ. He's a hard worker. He's mature. So I don't think there's anyone better to have that opportunity than he does, you know. And let's, I don't know. His future could be so bright, you know what I mean? Like, his ceiling could be so high. And, you know, I think he's just scratching the surface, man. He showed some flashes last year of what he can do. You know, at it when he looks his best, he is an intimidating guard. He's got leadership quality. You know, his shot is improving. He pushed the work in. Yeah, this season could be a big jump for him. But at the end of the day, man, that Scoot is going to be around for a long time. And it's just essentially, how high is he going to go? That's the type of player I think he is. How high is he going to go, you know?
No doubt, bro. No, I agree with you 100%, man. I got you. You all the team I'm watching out for this year who can surprise some people in this Western Conference with what you got brewing out there. And I wanted for the young brothers out here who play in college basketball, playing overseas right now, from an NBA assistant coach perspective, what do you look for in a player? What are the key qualities in a player you look for to want to suggest to Chauncey or to Joe Cronin, those above you, about who we should bring in? And we all had those meetings and offseason about how we can make this roster better.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. It's not my job to suggest, but I do take part in pre-draft processes. I've done that at, you know, different places. And, yeah, we get feedback and casual conversation. But as a coach, what you look for, what you want to coach. You understand what I mean? For me, there is a combination of the talent that has to be there to play in the NBA. At the end of the day, when you can mold a guy and a guy shows character, a guy shows toughness, a guy shows IQ, I don't really believe that there's a coach in the world that can install those things into a player. You know, you either have them or you don't. You know, so that, to me, I look at before any kind of analytics or, like, if I work a guy out and you get one day with him before the draft and he shows competitiveness, engagedness, looks you in the eye, listens and executes what you say to the best of their ability, shows a care. You understand what I'm saying? Those things are the type of players that make up championship teams, you know? And that's essentially what we're looking for, correct?
No doubt.
A lot of talent in the world that, you know, will reach whatever. Talent can take you a long way, but it can't take you all the way. It can't take you all the way. If you look at the best superstars in the league, the blueprint is there, if you think about it. The superstars, the ultimately talented, the ones that win are the ones that care, you know? They all fun to watch, and they all are amazing, but the ones that care are the ones that become greats, the ones that win championships, you know? So those are the things I look for more so than basketball detail stuff. But there's a lot of good players out here, man. There's a lot of good players.
All right, you never lied about there, bro. I got two more for you, brother. When you get a player in your program on this player development track, how do you go about getting a player to understand who they are as a player and trying to find out who they want to be as a player and getting to understand who they are right now as a player and what we can work on to make you where you want to be, but at the same time doing what's best for the team in the present?
Hey, man, listen, you brought me back to my last answer and basically told me I missed a humongous point in a word in evaluating the guys if they have self-awareness. It's rare. And it's a very difficult part of coaching if you have players that aren't self-aware to try to get them to understand who they are and what we need from you. You know what I mean? It takes maturity. It takes understanding of the game. It takes some selflessness. And it's also, you know, it's a character thing. It takes some humility. Not everybody has that, you know? Not everybody has that. Those are the players that get better. It's for a, I don't know, think of anyone who showed market improvement. Whether it's a Giannis or somebody to humble themselves to say, hey, I need to be a better free throw shooter. I can look in the mirror and say that I'm going to work on it. You understand what I'm saying? That's self-awareness. That's self-awareness. And everybody doesn't have it, you know? And if you, the NBA is 90% role players is what a lot of young players don't understand. A lot of players in the NBA are really, really good at one thing, you know, and can be taught and work through the rest. That's essentially how you make good teams. So the players that understand what their role is, make it to the NBA. Some of them, or stick in the NBA. Those are the guys who, man, you look up and this guy's had a 12-year career. Man, when he was a rookie, I didn't think he is an excellent at what he does. He understands himself. Trust me, coaches love to coach him. He's professional. That's how you make a career. You understand what I'm saying? So if young players understood that, you know, I think it would help be in their benefit, you know, but it is a tough thing, man, when you have a stubborn guy that doesn't really believe what you're saying, man. You got to make him believe. You show him examples, you talk to him, and that's the best way is visually to show them someone, a player comp. Hey, you can be just like this guy, you know, if you do these things, if you understand, if you believe what I'm telling you. And then my biggest thing as a coach is to make sure these players know that at the end of the day, I'm here to help. That is my job. I'm here to help you. I don't get anything out of this for me, if I don't help you, you know, so the things that I'm telling you is for your benefit, you know, so that's kind of my way of trying to get through to them to help them understand what they are, what we need them to be, what's best for them.
Yeah. I got a young man on our team that I won't say his name out loud, but I'm trying to get him understand who he is. Cause I know for me, Ronnie, I ain't had the best handling in the world and I'm 5'11 and a half. I ain't quite 6'5", 5'11 and a half. So I had to defend like crazy, give extra effort, be game planning the discipline, and make shoot threes. And I did it. And some nights I had got more shots than other nights, but I knew who I was. And maybe helped because I had my dad's a coach. Maybe they helped me because my dad was a coach. But still, I knew what my role was, to make threes, defend like crazy, give effort, and be in my right spot, have game plan discipline. As a young man I'm mentoring now who on our team, I'm trying to get him to understand, you're not a creator, buddy. Mm-hmm. You just need to make the right play, make the right pass, make the open shot. You know, we don't need to try to do all this. Mm-hmm. Make the simple play, buddy. You know, so what you say is so profound because I was a player who I had to be humble and accept who I was. I was a shooter and effort and defender. I wasn't doing this in offense, doing all those nice moves. I had to just shoot. If they could close out to me too crazy, pump fake and go. Give me a little quick jumper. I knew who I was, so I'm trying to give guys the same example for myself as well.
I'll give you a tip to help you with him. If you can find a player that he likes, and this might be a stretch, or find someone who you think plays the right way that's really successful but plays simple, and try to get him to fall in love with simple is all right, man. You know what I mean? Simple will get it done.
100%. You kind of lead me to my last point, Ronnie. I'm on my list here. Any advice you have for young coaches out here? A lot of coaches listen to my show. So, any advice for young coaches out here in NCAA overseas that's trying to grind and get better? Anything you want to let these young coaches know, man, to help them move up the ranks here?
Yeah, no, I mean, we all in the same fraternity, so we know how to just keep plugging away. It's one of those jobs that, can be kind of thankless for a long time until you feel like you get the right job. It can take your family all over the place. It takes you all over the place, but keep plugging away because at the end of the day, it's my personal message is that we helping young men and young athletes. You know, that's what the game is about, you know, for the players. We have an effect on lives. Other than that, one thing that I was having a conversation with some of my coaches in Summer League was just get reps in making yourself uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Whatever you feel, we talked about self-awareness. So when I first started coaching, you know, I transitioned from playing. Some people, if you was in coaching, you probably don't have this issue because you speak all day. That's one of your gifts. As a player, when you transition into coaching, now I have to learn. I haven't stood in front of a room and spoken since I was in school, right? So what I did was make myself uncomfortable. Instead of presenting film from the back of the room, I stand in the front of the room. You know, make the eye contact. Get uncomfortable until you get comfortable with it. You know what I mean? So whatever you feel like your weakness is as a coach, make the effort to put yourself in those positions. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like you're a coach that doesn't have a background as a player or in player development and you want to get better at it, during the summer, I promise you it works. Go work out kids. Because if you can teach them drills, if you can teach them moves, if you can teach them how to be better shooters, those things work with the pros, the exact same things. But what you're doing is sharpening your tools by putting yourself in the – I never thought, I'm out here working with the – yeah, do it. A local play, don't charge them. Do it for you. Do it for them. You know, you both get better at the same time. So that's the way I look at things that I do. And those are things that I feel like have helped me make me a better coach. And I'm going to continue to do them and try to keep on getting better.
No doubt, brother. Well, it's been a great having you on the show today, Ronnie. I'll see you soon. You in Atlanta. I'll see you in either Memphis when you play the Grizzlies or the Blazers. I do the Grizzlies too. So I hope we'll see each other one way or another on the road this year, man. When you're in town, you know, hit me up, brother. Look forward to meeting you in person, man, and chopping up with and talking ball some more with you, man. Like we needed that to stay on the show.
Absolutely. I appreciate the time, man.
Anytime, my good brother.
All right, now.
BS3 Network. Changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3 Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King, 50 King out at 105theking.com, and the Boss Man Show at BossManShow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.